What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Little Woodrow's in Sugarland, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here. We've slid over here to Sugarland, Clint, and live here at Little Woodrow's, and we're starting to see some people fall in on a Football Friday. There you go. Clap it up. That's what I like to see, man. I like them kicks, too, to be honest with you. Yeah, man, it's a good time to be had out here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock, and you can make your way as soon as you get off work. Coming out here, you can see Reggie from In the Loop. Reggie's in the building right here, he'll hang out. About to get him a nice little drink on. I see that little action. Reggie's about to get right in here. You can come out here and join him and join us. And, of course, we didn't come empty-handed. I'm letting you know. Coming up as soon as this segment ends, we will announce our first winner, a $50 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. So if you have not put your name in the raffle box, you might want to do that before we announce our first winner coming up as soon as this segment ends. All right. As we roll through here, Clint, I said, man, we're going to talk about this defense. And to me, I think the thought for it is, who and what defense of the Texans is going to show up? Because, yes, hey, if that defense that went toe-to-toe and completely took out the L.A. Chargers to the tune of four turnovers and multiple sacks and pressuring and putting Justin Herbert on the ground, DeNico Autry completely embarrassing that young man multiple
times. You're
going to
get hit hard if you play against
us. I'm sorry,
us.
I cannot get that in my mind. I've watched that about 15 times. Him just
ragdoll.
Fully just, I mean, press that young man into the ground and then just step over him like he was nothing to get to the quarterback.
Treated like, him like Ty Lue.
Yeah, he did. He sure did. He Iversoned his ass. Yeah. He physically threw him down and then Iversoned his ass. If that defense, which just took out the run game of the Chargers, and that's what they wanted to do. If that defense shows up, hell yeah. We've seen that defense before. We saw them tear up the Lions, five turnovers, and hold them down, even though they ended up losing that game. But we saw them hold down the Lions. We saw them tear up the Cowboys. We saw them give the Dolphins the business. We saw what they did to the Bills. But, Clint, as you know, we've also seen – what they did to Will Levis, and Will Levis walked in here and made big plays that he has no damn business making big plays when that defense has the ability to do that. We saw, Clint, which I think may have been the toughest for you to deal with, what Mac Jones just did in a second half to this defense against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We've seen them kind of have some up and downs. We saw maybe Drake May in his first start get a little too frisky out there against this defense. Which defense is showing up? Because it's one thing if we could say they consistently give us outings like they did last week against the Chargers. But we've seen other things. That's my thing is, which defense is showing up in this game on Saturday?
Well, I think the good defense, to answer the question just bluntly, I think the great defense. But here's you know, I just got a lot of faith in DeMeco Ryans. And what has plagued the Texans this year defensively the most has been the explosive play. It's not like they've been consistently bad against football teams, right? So I feel like the way that DeMeco's been able to scheme things up with this personnel that's healthy right now, I think one thing that I'd be comfortable betting on is that Pat Mahomes not going to be able to sit back there and pat the football and throw the ball over the top of the defense. Now, he is surgical underneath, and I fully expect Pat Mahomes to get the ball out of his hand. I expect the screen game to be really good. I expect him to have great chemistry with multiple receivers, but damn sure Travis Kelce and keep drives alive.
Oh, thank
but,
you.
But I, no problem, Pat. I would be really surprised if we go out there and all of a sudden with this defense, the explosives are a problem the way that they've been a problem in a handful of games this year.
Because of this particular team they're playing, or you think they've...
I just think D'Amico will have them ready. I think they figured some of that stuff out. I think both of your corners are playing significantly better ball than they were. I think your defense from a pressure perspective is at least according to last week, they're hitting on all cylinders and playing better than they have in a long time. I think I don't know about the team, but I do think you get a better D'Amico, the defensive coordinator, in the playoffs. And so I don't know how comfortable I am with this confidence, but I give up an explosive or a couple of explosives or a touchdown over the top, sure, maybe. But we've seen those things just like we watched Indianapolis be the only reason they were even in the game is because they were throwing the ball over the top of the defense's head. The only reason they had no business being in that game, and I would be shocked if it were one of those kind of games. So, I feel like we're going to get the good defense. Now, what does that defense look like against one of the greatest play callers, if not the greatest play caller of all time?
Because I want you to do this with your background. You know what it is. Because what we saw last week was, as I said, D'Amico Autry embarrassing people. Will Anderson just coming off the edge untouched, and he almost killed Justin Herbert. We saw Danielle Hunter. We saw that line take over the game. What is it that you think Andy Reid, as a great play caller, a guy that is smart? Because clearly, in the first game, we've not really seen the Texans' D-line be slowed up, especially the edges, the way they were. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson had very little impact in that game. What is it that Andy does that you think makes it different than what the Chargers
do? Well, I think it starts with his personnel. I mean, you've got three interior offensive linemen. Now, I know Tooney's not playing interior, but you've got three dudes in that O-line that ain't gave up a sack all year. I mean, you've got a stout interior offensive line, and when you have that, your quarterback can move, your coordinator has a chance to chip and play games with the defensive ends. And if you look at last week, how this defense was just so nasty was the interior guys were able to make big time differences. We made a lot during the week about the tackles for the Chargers, but the reality of it is it came down to the interior offensive line was trash. The Texans were able to take full advantage of that. You had a quarterback that was not willing to use his legs, which most of us thought he was going to use his legs
or hit a check down.
Yeah, or hit a check down. That's where I was going next. And you had a young quarterback that just doesn't quite understand how to handle the level of pressure that was being thrown at him last week. All of which, by the way, what I just said, I do not think exists this week with the Chiefs, obviously. Again, internally, I think they're going to be able to handle our internal pass rush, which means that our good outside, our big guys outside have to win versus their tackles, which is not going to be easy. And D'Amico's got to scheme some things up to catch Pat off guard. There's got to be some big-time disguises. And the reality of it is, I think Andy and Pat, I do wonder – you know, we're going to have this Brady Belichick conversation at some point about Andy and Pat. Like, obviously, they're great together, but I do wonder how much of Andy is true scheme versus Pat just committing to it and understanding how to execute it and not taking a bunch of risk and getting the ball out quick and that kind of thing. Either way you slice it, we got to deal with both of them, no matter who gets the credit. But I think that Andy's got a real and Pat have a real understanding of. Now, Pat will make some stupid mistakes, which I know drives you crazy, making some ill-advised throws and stuff like that. But when it comes down to an overall game plan and approach to an offense, they're not going to get beat because their game plan wasn't worth a damn. You know, it's just not going to happen. And so Andy's going to make it tough on his defense from a scheme perspective, and their personnel is significantly better, particularly on the inside of the offensive line, than what the Texans saw last week. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you could get a sense, and it felt like kind of rewatching that game the first time. Boy, everything was so quick, so many misdirection things, and it just frustrated. You could see it frustrated. It was like, hey, man, we took our first two steps on the pass rush, and the ball's gone.
Yeah.
Or they moved the pocket, or there's a jet sweep out of nowhere that comes out. So
yeah, well, when you get a team like the Texans who are we've heard them talking about up front just being penetrators, right? Well, when you're going to run right by runs on that, right? Andy's not going to sit up there and you know, butt his head against with certain schemes against a penetrating defense. He's going to pick whichever scheme is really good against a penetrating defense. Luckily, last week the Texans figured out that trap play that Baltimore just murdered us with, because that's what the Chargers tried to do, and it didn't work. It worked good in the first drive, but it didn't work real good down the stretch. And so, you know, Andy's just take that for instance. Like, Andy's really good at figuring out ways to counter a penetrating defense. And really any kind of defense, but in this case, that penetrating defense. So I think he's going to, whether it's misdirection, like you said, we got some guys that chase like scalded dogs, right? Are they going? The misdirection stuff is going to be there. The speed sweep, getting the edge quick, is really the only way you're going to get the edge with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson out there. So he's going to have that in the game plan. Instead of just giving up on the edge, he's going to find creative ways to get the edge right now, immediately, instead of trying to do it in the run game with your traditional runs. And so, look, Andy is, they know that about it. He's one of, if not the best play caller that we've seen. And so he'll have a nice little setup for D'Amico.
But to me, as you're talking about that, like, those are the names that from a Texans fan's perspective, you need to hear a lot more of than you did the first go around. Like, and I don't think it's all up to them. I think some of it is design, and D'Amico has to do it, but Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson are arguably the best defensive end edge rush duo in football. They have the most sacks any duo. And in the first game, they just didn't impact it very much. And they've got to find ways to do that. And in this game, they have got to be more of a factor in this game. Like, I do think there's going to be some quick stuff, but as we heard from Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator earlier this week with the Chiefs, said at some point we are going to have our guys go one-on-one in matchups. And there are going to be some longer drops, maybe not as many. There are going to be some. The Texans need those guys to step in and make plays and be a big impact in those points. Because if this game goes any way like it did last time in terms of those guys' impact, they are in some real trouble.
Well,
those guys got to come through.
If I remember correctly, they allowed Pat for the most part to get the football out of his hand pretty quick. Now, whether that's design or that's Pat or it's Andy or whatever, the reality of it is D'Amico, I would imagine from jump, instead of coming out and like, hey, let's see how the game goes and get the feel of the game and we'll adjust accordingly, I would imagine D'Amico's going to come out there with the plan of, let's take away the majority of the quick stuff. Let's make that a priority. Make him hold the football and see if we can't get him behind the chains. Take a little bit more risk. Now, he may hit him over the head. He may hit him over the top for an early touchdown. But again, I just think they've got to live and die with that pressure, Ron. I don't know. I don't know how the Texans win if they're not applying pressure.
Yeah, yeah. From the text line, Frank said you're going to see that Super Bowl caliber defense in tomorrow's game. Well, that is most definitely what they need to see. More like last week and less like the Tennessee and Jacksonville weeks. I know for you, and I believe this as well, that D'Amico Ryans, one thing, I've said it for years, he is, to me, a top five defensive mind in the game. And he's got some advantages of seeing this team before and have tape on this team. Now, obviously, Andy Reid has the same and could completely have a different game plan. But he's understood what they tried to do to him before. And I think with his mind, D'Amico will make adjustments in this game. And that's the thing that I'm curious to see in this game, is what kind of adjustments that D'Amico makes.
Yeah, look, I agree. D'Amico's been great with the adjustments. I think, you know, there's a couple of things with D'Amico's defense that you just can't ignore, right? I mean, the plus 10 turnover ratio in a time when CJ, it's not like CJ's out there throwing four interceptions, right? Like Justin Herbert had three coming into the game. I mean, CJ's thrown a handful of interceptions, and they're still plus 10 in the turnover ratio. In the pressure rate, I mean, they're pressuring quarterbacks at a rate second to nobody in the league. The ability to and I don't know exactly what the number is right now, but the ability to allow the lowest completion percentage in football And that's been a stat since mid-year. It's not like it just happened with a couple of bad quarterbacks. I mean, it's been the issue all. Like, those are all things that I would have – like, those are things that Andy and Pat got to deal with. You know, those are things that you know, the Chiefs aren't immune to. So I think those are real. And along with your point, you look at D'Amico, his ability to adjust, hey, this ain't working, what are we going to do? I think he's really, really good there. As well, so we'll see how it goes, but I think there's some real positives to sink your teeth into on this Texans defense.
I think he's going to be super aggressive.
D'Amico?
I think he probably, we won't see him sit back more. I think he may send more pressure. I think we may see one of those games, which is dangerous, as you know, the blitzing, especially blitzing of him. But I think at least he'll pick points where he's going to be more aggressive and try to kind of speed up Mahomes.
I would think there's going to be a lot of post snap movement. I mean, that's the only way you got a chance against a guy like Pat Mahomes is to show him something pre snap and then immediately roll to something else. And now that could just be something as simple as, hey, we're going to play man defense, but we're going to show you our corners are 8 yards off and appearing to bail, and at the snap they're going to jump anything underneath. Or it could be completely disguising coverages and going from a two safety coverage, you know, two on the roof coverage to a single high safety. So I would expect them to empty the clip against the Chiefs at least early on until they.
You like that thought against?
I like it against anybody. It is just significantly more difficult for a quarterback to process and work post snap. I mean, it's. You know, I said it the other day, I think CJ struggles with it right now. And look, Pat's obviously better than most at it, but the reality of it is you got to make him, process. You got to make him see rotation. You got to make him confirm, right? Pre-snap, I've got a certain kind of look. If he can just go off a pre-snap read, then you have zero chance against Pat Mahomes. Right, but as the ball snapped again, it could be something as simple as the corners are jumping or the safeties are rolling. You got to consistently mix that
change
thing
the
up.
Pitcher,
and,
yeah.
And a lot of times defenses can get themselves in trouble doing that. And D'Amico's group, I think they did that last week in that first drive against Herbert. Like, there were guys out of position, and it didn't bite them for the big play, but there were guys out of position trying to figure out where the hell to be, and then they settled in and did a really good job moving forward. But you know, that's the balancing act there, in my opinion, Ron, is you gotta, you know, do you can disguise yourself into some problems versus Pat Mahomes, but you can also, if you do it right and you're good at it and you're confident in it, then you can maybe get an early pick, maybe get an early third down breakup, get a punt and have good field position out of the gate kind of thing.
Get some confidence, yeah.
Yeah, which again, you talk about the first meeting this year, that's what you did for the Chiefs. Right, you gave that to the Chiefs immediately with the interception on the first or second drive, whatever that was.
First drive, then led right to a touchdown.
Yeah, so I mean, you gave that advantage to them last week, and can the defense do that for our offense this week and give us a little bit of an advantage? It's what it's, that, those kind of situations are what it's going to take to get this one.
All right, coming up as we continue live here, Sugarland here at Little Woodrow's. Come make your way on out here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock, hanging out, having a good time, and listen. I think I was placed in a space where it was unfair, and I'm going to defend myself.
Were you unfairly targeted?
I was. Now I believe an apology was given in the targeting, but I am going to defend myself, and then hopefully some of you will then be truthful with this thing. We'll discuss all of that and let you hear what we're talking about coming up next. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready. Hold on to your nipples.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Little Woodrow's in Sugarland, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Congratulations to our first two winners as they took home a couple of $50 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. You can be one of our next winners as well. We have a couple of more $50 gift cards, as well as an autograph helmet from Tank Dell and an autograph football from Daniil Hunter. We are live here on a Football Friday at Little Woodrow's here in Sugarland. Make your way out here and have a good time with us as we get you ready for of this game coming up. Coming up here in the bottom of the hour, Pete Sweeney's covered the Kansas City Chiefs for 10 years. And over the number one website there covering the Chiefs in Kansas City, we'll get his take, everything that's going on injury-wise and what to look for with the Chiefs. He'll join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. But there have been some other folks that have come on the air this week and talked and given their expertise on the Chiefs on In the Loop with Reggie, who is in the building right now. Come up and say hello to Reggie with Reggie. And John Lopez and Figgy, as well as on Payne and Pendergast. Now, Nick Wright came on with In the Loop, and I could feel the annoyance coming through the radio. Really, I heard it on the Odyssey app through the phone from Reggie and John Lopez with the, just let's call it what it is, Clint disrespect flying off the table from Nick Wright.
Hold on, Joe.
Or just quality overconfidence. And then this morning, if you missed it, Carrington Harrison, I'd say the guy that got my foot in the door in radio, he came on and took it the same route as Nick Wright. Now, I want to play a mashup of this because in my mind, many of you, and you're right, you've seen since I've been here, Clint Tyler, you've seen the type of trash and the type of comments that is talked my way. I, honest to God, I feel like what I'm about to play is what you hear me saying in your head. Although it's not, it's never been said. I've never said anything like this. I feel like you hear this in your head. And I just want to play this for you to say, you know what? I admit it, man. Show, you ain't like that. You ain't that. Yeah, I mean, you ain't this level of disrespect. And listen, it's disrespectful. I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm gonna tell you, I ain't go this way or this route with it. It is disrespectful. Tyler, play a little bit from this week from Nick Wright. Tyler, I feel like Tyler, don't get pissed.
I've been looking forward to this segment all day.
I feel like every time I hear it, I hear these guys. I think, boy, Tyler would absolutely lose his mind with these guys. I
mean, yeah, they're clowns.
We get all kinds of turds or. What's some of his other, what's the other things that Tyler likes to call people?
Turd is the best.
No, there's another one. Dingo boys. Yeah.
Yes. Real dingo behavior right here.
Yeah, dingo behavior. All right. Here's a little mashup. And just admit, I don't be sounding like this. Nick Wright, Carrington Harris.
Payne and Pendergast with you. It is a Football Friday. We are joined by our next guest. He is Carrington Harrison joining us right now on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, I'm excited to come on here and talk to you guys about the next round of the playoffs. I know it's something you guys haven't experienced, the AFC Championship game. It's actually really cool to host a game where if you win, you get to go to the Super Bowl. I know this is where you guys' season traditionally normally stops. You know, you'll win one playoff game and it's fun and it's cool, the wild card round. That's not a round I'm pretty familiar with. This round's okay, you know, the final eight teams in the league, but the next round, that's when it really gets fun.
Shows violence right away, I see.
We've enjoyed you and Nick Wright and all these other people, you know, Ron Hughley to a certain degree. Your stolen valor confidence.
In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610, and joining us,
it is Nick Wright. Nick, how you doing, man?
I mean, here's the thing. It's not about the Texans. I promise you, this is not about the Texans. It's the final practice of the year. The Chiefs under Mahomes have one or two game seasons. The season starts in the AFC Championship game. So it's nothing against you guys, but this is practice. Because the divisional round is practice for the real season, which is very brief.
I'm not worried at all. I'm not worried at all because Kansas City has the better barbecue. We have the better traffic. You guys have Beyonce. We ended up getting Taylor Swift. Like, I'm just going down.
You have better traffic. You have better traffic because nobody wants to live there.
Now that you listen to that, man. I honest to God, Clint, Tyler.
What a bunch of clowns.
But I believe people believe that's what they hear when I talk.
Oh, I've seen it on the text line. It makes zero effing sense.
I have never been that arrogant on the air. I have never been that arrogant.
You really haven't.
Now, Figgy might have a different feeling. He caught me up during game. During game, I can't control who that is.
And then you put him in the water.
I had never been like that. And you don't ever hear me sound like that. Clint, you sit next to me for 5 years, and if you lie on this thing, I swear. You have never heard that level of arrogance from me.
That is awesome.
No. I mean, yours is more of a silent arrogance. Yeah, I mean, you're
not. Oh, that's well said.
You're not as vocal with it. You pick and choose when to jab, and those guys are obviously just stirring the damn pot and trying to get Houston good and worked up.
Stirring
turds. I think you know better than that. I mean, I think even you know better than that.
No, I mean, I listen.
I'm not sure he knows better.
I could. I'm not going to say it ain't in me, but that, like, that's just. But I'm just letting you know, like, some of you all texting things, and I'm thinking, let me go back and listen to what I just said. I feel like I just said what they said. I never said that. Never said nothing like it. I don't believe that.
Here's what I think. I think there's some snide comments from time to time that I think people take and run with. Where you don't have to, you can just listen to that. You ain't gonna run with nothing. You know exactly what that guy's saying. I think there are times that there may be some little backhanded comments here or there, and I think folks run with it.
Somebody texted and said, "Who is that Carrington?" That is, I was looking at the text line during the interview. Someone texted and said, "Who is that Carrington?" That is just, that is the same thing that Ron says, just in a different voice.
Oh, my.
You've never heard me say that. I never said anything. Hey, by the way, I want to make a real.
It's a wild phenomenon.
I want to make a real quick point there, fellas. Did you catch the word usage? You got to really look at it. The word usage of Carrington. He said, "We got better barbecue. We got better traffic." He said, "Y'all got Beyonce, and somehow we got Taylor Swift." Now, he did not say
better.
We got the better at Taylor Swift. Yeah. He's very clear to stop saying the better when it came to that point. I mean, he just said we got Taylor Swift. He just said we got it.
We somehow slid into Taylor Swift.
She ain't better. I'm just saying, man, like, just, hey. Think about that. Think about those guys when you just invent stuff in your head.
Yeah, and I don't really appreciate a teammate, old Sether, Seth Payne, kind of coming at you along with Carrington and
now
Nick Wright.
Now I think
right there.
He apologized. He did apologize.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, no, he took it. He walked it back. Yeah, he walked it back at the end of the tees.
Good.
He walked it back. He said he got a little excited. He said he didn't mean to place me in there. I just think that he just got triggered, and the next Chiefs fan he could reach for was yours truly, as you said it there. All right, we'll have another guest. Hopefully this nut won't come on here and try to be an asshat or overly disrespectful the way that those two were. Pete Sweeney, he knows the Chiefs like the back of his hand. He'll be able to give us some real insight on what they've been this year and what we're looking at. Pete Sweeney coming up next.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Little Woodrow's in Sugarland, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in as we're live here. Little Woodrow's Sugarland, make your way on out here. As we'll be here till 6 o'clock, got prizes to hook you up with in the 4 o'clock hour. Got a chance to win a $50 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. And in the 4 o'clock hour, your chance to win an autographed football from Daniil Hunter. Coming up here as we continue, as we head to the phone lines, our next guest, Pete Sweeney, 10-plus years covering the Chiefs, editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride. Also does work for the NBC affiliate in Kansas City and Sports Radio 810. Pete, somebody just texted in, Guy Jean. He said, "I just looked up this Pete Sweeney dude, and he looks like John Lennon's son." Have you ever gotten that, Pete, that you look like John Lennon's son? And I wonder if he caught you, Pete, when you're down three buttons and that taco meat and that chest hair is showing, Pete. Like, I think you really could pass for John Lennon.
Well, it just depends. And if you catch me on karaoke night, I think that is usually when, you know, people will say that, but not really just straight from the looks. You know what I mean?
I don't think catch you on karaoke night. I don't want to catch you on karaoke. Last time, Clint, I ran into him. I met him out, and he's a fireball shot guy. Right in for the fireball.
Fireball's
shot.
A good one, boy.
My guy.
No, it's not.
It's hard one to quit.
No, I don't understand why he felt like that was something I wanted.
I know that people are talking about you and Clint, and I want to start off by saying it's good to be on with Clint, first of all, and then Mr. Nasty, you know, as we call you in Kansas City. I mean, you get a few in you, you know, you turn into Mr. Nasty, and we got to be careful around
that. We're not trying to bring that out now. Mr. Nasty had to retire now, man. I got three out here.
He makes an appearance every once in a while. He does make an appearance.
I got three out here, man. I already got enough nicknames as it is. All right, Pete, man, there's some news today. And I think it impacts maybe the biggest part of this game, and that is it has been decided that Joe Tooney is going to be the left tackle. He's been the left tackle in the last three games that's mattered, and the Chiefs seem to have played better on the offensive line. Was there ever any realistic thought that it wouldn't be him, and how does this kind of change things for the Chiefs?
I think the Chiefs would have ideally liked to have DJ Humphreys be that guy. He got here, I believe it was early December, and right away he suffers the hamstring injury, and that caused him to come out of the lineup. And so he really lost that month, which would have been a proving ground to showcase, okay, he's good off the ACL that he suffered when he was still a member of the Arizona Cardinals, and settled in, would have been next to Joe Tooney at the left guard position. And, you know, it would have been a situation where the Chiefs really felt like they had their best line. What happened was when he exits and he has to miss a few weeks of games, they ran out of time for him to settle in. And the Chiefs, if you remember last year, from the divisional round forward, it was all one score wins. And so, you know, you have this thought process that's been talked about here a little bit of like, well, maybe they can just see with DJ Humphreys. When you're winning by one score in the postseason, you can't waste a series. And so they went back to what I believe was their best looking offense those three games in 11 days. And that was with Joe Tooney at left tackle, Mike Caliendo at left guard. Certainly a better pass blocking unit. There is some room left to be desired when it comes to run blocking, but I agree with the decision. The offense looked the best with him in the mix at left tackle. And now DJ Humphreys becomes more of a swing tackle, a replacement if you do get an injury, but I think it's the right call.
How do you think, Pete, how do you think those guys you just got through talking about, how do you think they match up with the two ends that the Texans have, obviously with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter?
Not well. You know, not well. I think that there is a mismatch when it comes to the Chiefs' tackles, regardless of who they put out there against the opposing defensive ends, especially guys as talented as the Texans are bringing to the table. Late in the year, I mean, you saw Kansas City adjust to that. Patrick Mahomes was recording his lowest times to throw that he had in a really long time. They got him to under 2.5 seconds. And, you know, regardless of a mismatch potentially on the outside, if you're getting rid of the ball that quickly, you can tend to operate. And so I think the Chiefs saw that. They saw it as a weakness. When I say it's the best offensive line the Chiefs have had, that means it's adequate and not bad. I don't think it's something that I would say is above average. I mean, you have a guy out of position, and Juwan Taylor has his woes with all the penalties that he takes. And so this is an advantage for the Texans. And so the Chiefs are going to have to continue to get the ball out quickly if they're going to have success.
Pete Sweeney, Arrowhead Pride, and has covered the Chiefs for 10-plus years, does a lot of work in Kansas City covering the Chiefs. Pete, just to kind of help with our audience, over this season and where the Chiefs are right now offensively, who are the guys that you think the Texans really need to slow down, the guys that will be most likely to give the Texans trouble and make plays offensively?
Yeah, often in the playoffs we see Travis Kelce go to another level, and so I still think he's going to be a factor in this playoffs. I thought it was good for Kansas City to see that Xavier Worthy really took the next step. I mean, he was sort of in the mix early on in the season, and then middle to the end, similar to what you saw with Rashee Rice last year, he ended up taking a further step, and more so from a route tree standpoint, being able to give different looks, and so he's become a factor. And it's hard to really gauge DeAndre Hopkins and Hollywood Brown, because these guys were having about under 50% of the snaps in the two games that Brown got to play. Remember, he came back from the injury. he was 40% or below. And so there's a little bit of mystery to that, and I think Andy Reid really likes to tap into that advantage. Like, I think the Texans can watch film. There's years and years of it on Travis Kelce, a whole season of it on Xavier Worthy, and get a gist of, like, what the Chiefs want to do with these particular players. There's an air of mystery to what Andy Reid is going to do with Hollywood Brown and DeAndre Hopkins, and so I just feel like if you're going to take advantage of a team in the playoffs, why not go to the guys where, like, there really isn't a ton of film to draw off of? I think Hopkins is motivated for this game. I think to an extent they were saving him for this run and are really going to take, so to speak, the training wheels off in terms of him. And then Hollywood Brown, we know, can be a factor. And so I know I listed a lot of weapons, but I think I'm most curious about how we see Reed utilize those last two, Hopkins and Brown.
Can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, we watching all the different talk shows and even listening to some of the radio and talking to Ron here, who knows this team as well as anybody. It's not the same old Chiefs in a sense of they're a little bit more defense heavy. Pat hasn't been as good this year as he's been in the past, not nearly as explosive as they have been. What has been the reason behind the change for Pat? Is it just a scheme change and strength in the team change, or have you seen something that maybe the Texans can exploit here?
Well, I think early on in the year, the Chiefs were just rotating linemen, and it was impossible for him to settle in. Early on in the year, there was a game where Wanya Morris essentially allowed a free rusher, and you could see the frustration on Pat. And Pat is usually pretty good about not showing his teammates up on the field, but you could sense that frustration. And that's why I keep bringing up those three games in 11 days and just the fact that they decided to put Tooney out there. That's when he was most comfortable. Again, they were getting rid of the ball quickly, but in that stretch, I just feel like with a high ankle sprain, he was looking the best. And so I think some of those woes, and like when you look at the season statistics, it was more drawing from those growing pains that were happening early on in the year as you were getting used to the new protection. I mean, they started a rookie, Kingsley Suamataia, at left tackle early on in the year, and then straight up at some point just determined this is going to be a redshirt year. I mean, that's how bad it was in terms of the protection. And so I think it looked better later in the season, and we just don't have a ton of games where I think they were finally hitting their stride. I think the biggest thing that gives me confidence in the Chiefs offense is really from a film standpoint, and I mentioned it earlier, but I'll just kind of reiterate, like, I just don't think we've really seen the Chiefs offense that they're going to show in the playoffs because of those snap count things that I was talking about, because there are only a few games with this offensive line combination, because Patrick Mahomes was able to rest that high ankle and now presumably is going to look good. Travis Kelce last year, after resting in week 18, had a fantastic postseason where he had a minimum of 71 yards per game. And so I think there is a window. I think there is a chance to see the Chiefs really take the top off, so to speak, in this postseason. But we just don't have the film to really draw that, because I don't think they've been ready to showcase that due to injury, roster shuffling, and otherwise.
All right, Pete, let me get you out on this. I know you talked to Spags this week. What do you get the sense that the Chiefs are concerned, nervous about with the Texans offense?
Well, I think it's Nico Collins. You saw what stood out to me in that first game for the Texans, which I thought was a really nice outing by them, and shocked a lot of people. I mean, I think everybody was picking the Chargers in that game. I think Collins, it became Collins and everybody else. I mean, if you just look at the stat sheet, it was, what, a buck 20-something for Collins, and then the next guy was like 30-something, and it kind of went down from there. And it's tough because I think – I'm confident about this. A, in the game in week 16, and then B, in the playoffs, obviously Tank Dell makes this whole game different. And he would have made that regular season game different. That game was in the balance until Tank Dell goes down. I think the Texans are really going to need an option past Nico Collins, because Collins will get his, in my opinion, for sure. He's very, very talented, one of the better receivers in the NFL. But the Chiefs can curb him with a two-time All-Pro and Trent McDuffie. It's like, how else are they going to be able to attack the Chiefs? The Chiefs are well aware of Collins. Steve Spagnuolo, this is one of my questions to him. He essentially said, we got to know exactly where he is on the field at all times and not allow him to wreck the game. And I think that's the right attitude, because I think, you know, similar to what you'll do to some other teams, if you're going to let the Texans upset you on your field, they got to deal with somebody other than Nico Collins. So who is that person going to be for Houston?
All right, Pete, good to talk to you. And Mr. Nasty, I'll see you again soon, and old Sweden Show can get it going again.
Yeah.
at a later date.
We'll warm up the fireball, Clint. You do your best managing the Nick Wright of Houston if you can. I'm concerned about this.
That's ironic.
Get out of here. All right, that's Pete Sweeney, as he gave us a little insight on what's going on with the Chiefs this week. What you got coming up at the four?
All right, this is going to be a defensive game. I think it's not necessarily going to be a low-scoring game, but I think the defenses on both sides are going to play a huge part in this game. The Texans don't have a choice. Their defense absolutely has to be out of their mind good this week. There's a handful of things that they've done good all year long that have to come to fruition this weekend against the Chiefs. I'm going to tell you what those things are, highlight a few, and hey, flat out, it's got to happen versus Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.